It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. The death of Eric Garner in 2014 was an unforgettable moment for many people. Garner died after New York City police officers placed him in what most would call a choke hold. The image of his death and his iconic last words were captured on video.
I can't breathe. 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 I can't breathe.
Garner's words live on now through the music of one Atlanta artist. Eric Garner is one of several unarmed black men killed by police whose last words are now included in a new composition. It's called Seven Last Words of the Unarmed. The song was written by Atlanta composer Joel Thompson, and the version we hear is a performance by the University of Michigan's Glee Club. Joel Thompson and one of the Glee Club members join me this morning. Julian Goods is from the Chicagoland area. Good to have you and Joel here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to be here.
Julian, what is a Glee Club?
The Glee Club here and across university is our choirs designed for one gender. So here we have the men's glee club, which is all men, but we also have a women's glee club, and that's pretty standard across universities.
Yeah, I just want to, in interest of full disclosure, I got my degree from the University of Michigan Music School, and I just want to let everybody know I didn't pitch this story, so it wasn't influenced because of U of M, although go blue.
Go blue.
Joel, I wanted to talk about your motivation for the piece because I found it very interesting that Eugene Rogers, who's the professor of conducting at U of M School of Music, has said he chose your piece as part of teaching students Ubuntu, which most people associate with Nelson Mandela. It's a Bantu term that refers to a sort of a belief in the universal bond between all of humanity. And I wonder if that was also part of your process in writing.
Well, when I wrote the piece, it was really just, for me, it was a very personal endeavor. I wrote it to try and process my own feelings, and I really didn't intend to show it to anyone. But I came to realize that many of the barriers that exist between us, racism, sexism, and other boundaries are a result of people not being willing to have those experiences in which we step into other people's shoes and have a cultural dialogue. And I felt that the piece would be able to offer that opportunity to have a dialogue. And that fit perfectly with Dr. Rogers' sort of musical philosophy of Ubuntu and trying to get people to have conversations and share the pain and the hurt of either side and come to a common understanding.
I want to play a section of the song, and it's a multi-movement song.
Yes.
These are the last words of Kenneth Chamberlain. Chamberlain was a 68-year-old African-American man. He was a Marine veteran, killed in 2011 by police while he was inside his own home in White Plains, New York. How did you choose the last words that you were going to use for the piece?
Well, my partner, Dr. Emiko Soltis, she showed me these pictograms on Twitter by Iranian-American journalist and artist Shirin Bargi. And they depicted a very stark image paired with the last words and age of unarmed black men killed by police officers. And she suggested that there should be a musical version of these. And so I took the existing trope of the seven last words of Christ, commonly set liturgical words in the classical music idiom. And
let me translate what you just said for people who are not musicians. There's a whole bunch of different settings by different composers of the seven last words of Christ. And if you are in music, even if you're an instrumentalist and not a singer, you have played a version,
yes,
of the seven last words of Christ, yes, at some point in your career. Okay, pray continue.
And so I took the liturgical order and I found the last sayings that matched them sort of thematically. So, for example, the last words of the third last word of Christ was, "Mother, this is thy son. Son, this is thy mother," in reference to Mary and John, his disciple. And so, that maternal connection, I took the last words of Amadou Diallo, "Mom, I'm going to college," and I put that as the third one. So it was, I used the structure of the classical piece to assemble Seven Last Words of the Unarmed.
Which brings us to you, Julian, because one of the things you had to do was not just sing, but your professor required you write essays about this piece, correct?
Yes, sort of. We got the opportunity, the university presented the opportunity for us to take this performance and turn it into a documentary. And so one of the things he asked is if you would like to have an interview that could potentially make it into the documentary, to write an essay, just a, you know, one page, you know, two paragraph, couple paragraphs, however many, on what this piece has meant to you and how you personally have come to grow with the piece over the course of the semester.
And what did you choose to write, I should ask first?
Yes, I did. I did, very much so. And I talked about my experience as an African-American male coming from Chicago, and how, for me personally, the issues of gun violence and police brutality is something that I hear about every day. It's something you hear on the news. It's just like the weather. You know, the weather comes on and somebody else, you know, gets shot. And it's like today, you know, 32 people died. Tomorrow it's going to be 15. But, you know, a holiday's coming up. And so, you know, we estimate about 100 will be shot and 15 will be killed. And so I talked about that and how, for me, this was something I hear every day. So it was not something new. But for my colleagues who don't necessarily come from the same environment, this was not reality. It was something different. It was an eye-opening experience to say, wow, this really does happen, and how could this happen?
Let's hear a little bit more of the music that we're talking about. This is the last words of Oscar Grant, the part of the song that it features that. Oscar Grant, his story was featured in a recent movie. He was unarmed when he was shot in 2009 during an encounter with police at an Oakland, California train stop. The clapping, is that the gunshot?
It's the reaction to the gunshot, sort of like clutching the chest. I wanted it to sort of conjure that exact moment of sort of incredulity, where he's, "You shot me," and then sort of accepting it, "You shot me." It's one of the most powerful moments, I think, in the piece, because it's so raw and real, and it was probably one of the most difficult to write. I watched the video of his death from multiple angles, from cell phone videos at that BART station before writing that, and it was pretty tough.
For those who are in the choir, and I assume this is maybe who you were referring to, Julian, when you talked about your colleagues, mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how this goes over with your colleagues who are white. Sometimes discussions of these kind of things can make people feel defensive or make people feel as though they're being blamed. And I wonder if there was any kind of discussion among the Glee Club about that.
Yes. So one of the, when Dr. Rogers presented this piece to us.
You're referring to Eugene Rogers, who's the director, the conductor of the Glee
Yes,
Club.
Our director. When he brought this piece to the group, one of the things he said is, we want to keep this, we want to keep an open mind about it, and that he would not enforce any political views on it, and that this piece does not express any certain political view, but instead it is simply there to honor the lives of these victims. And so as a group, we collectively came to the agreement that no person should have to, one, lose their life at that young of an age, and two, lose it in this way. You know, no matter who here is at fault, we can collectively as a community agree that no matter what the circumstances were, this shouldn't have happened. This person shouldn't have to lose their lives. Mothers shouldn't, you know, have to hear last words of their child being, you know, Mom, I'm going to college, and that dream not become a reality.
We've got about 2 minutes left, Joel. And I wonder, you said that you almost just wrote this for yourself. Why did you decide to release it publicly and have it performed?
I felt an itch. I felt that I had to do something about it. As an artist, sometimes you get you sort of think, what is the purpose of this? Am I actually doing something to help my community or help others? Sometimes you hear a beautiful chord and you think, like, what is the purpose of this other than to provide beauty to me or satisfaction to the people around me? But I felt that I had an opportunity to, with the art that I had made, to start a dialogue, to express pain and have people, you know, express, you know, the good and the bad and sort of figure out what we can do to sort of change the pronoun that we use when trying to address this issue. A lady came up to me after a recent premiere and she said, what do we do about this now? And I was just so relieved that she used we instead of you or them. So I think that's, and once I heard that, I realized I made the right decision in sharing the piece, because now we're having these wonderful conversations that can hopefully lead to some substantive change.
That's Atlanta composer Joel Thompson. His song, Seven Last Words of the Unarmed, features the last words of unarmed Black men who've been killed. We have a link to that song at our website, gppnews.org. We also heard from University of Michigan Glee Club member Julian Goods. He's performed this piece. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's close with another part of that song, and this is featuring the words you've heard mentioned, Mom, I'm going to college, reportedly said by Amadou Diallo, a 23-year-old immigrant from Guinea who was shot 41 times by New York City police in 1999. Police thought he was pulling out a gun. He was unarmed.